Father, we are humbled and blessed by your faithful servants who stand with us here today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence upon them and within them. And as they share this morning, I thank you that you're filling their mouths. Let us have ears to hear and hearts to receive the truth you want to speak to us this morning. And again, Father, we just ask your blessing upon them. I thank you, Father, for I speak over their lives. And I'm just going to speak something. Lord, you have given them prosperity in all areas, but we also pray for the physical right now. Physical prosperity for them. Again, they are gracious people who do not take to keep, but to give out. And so I pray for that. I thank you, Lord, for your healing hand that's been upon both of them, and that they can stand in testimony to the glorious goodness of you, God. And again, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Shannon. It is a blessing. The blessing really is ours to be here with you folks again. And it is. It's something we look forward to every year now coming up here. And we keep threatening we're going to stop in for coffee on our trips through towards Edmonton or something, or towards PRBI, but it doesn't happen. So you're stuck with us for once a year. But it is such a blessing. And, you know, one of the things that stands out, you know, I was thinking about it as I was preparing to share this morning. One of the things that stands out to me about Camrose Community Church in the history over those 35 plus years that I've known you as a church, your message has been one of the grace of God and how he does it all, and our identity is in him. It's not where we're striving to try to measure up to something, but Jesus measured up, and that's been your message as a church all of these years, and I'm sure is going to continue to be that, and that's that blesses my socks off. I know you had people like Jim Richards that Pastor Ralph was connected with. You've probably heard of Andrew Farley. I've been listening to some of his messages, and that grace message is the reality of what Jesus has done for us. And that's the message we have to share with the world. I don't have a video to tell you about OM this morning because I think most of you have heard of us. So I'm just going to show, where do I aim? Up there? There we go. Just a couple of things about us, and then Wendy's going to share a little bit of an update from what's been going on. So we want to see vibrant communities of Jesus followers within reach of every person in the world. The least reached has been OM's target since 1957 when we got started. And that continues now into 147 nations and the two ships that are still sailing and ministering in different ports. And you'll see a slide in a minute that tell you, well, Wendy's talking about what our role is in all of that. And this is a quote from our previous international director who just stepped down after his term and somebody else. But we're on a mission to bring the gospel to the furthest corners of the world, fulfilling the Great Commission in this generation. There's no place too far, no task too difficult, and no human we won't try to reach. And I know that's your story as a church family right here in Camrose. You want to see people reach with the good news of the gospel. So that's the mission we're connected with. And Wendy's going to tell you a little bit more. And if you can see that, you can tell while she's sharing kind of what is our role within all of that. So go ahead, hon.
Good morning, saints. It's wonderful to be here with you. And we really feel loved coming year, and we are very thankful for you and for your prayers for us over these many years, really. And God has been at work. Mm-hmm. And as God says, I'd like to share some God stories with you. Philippians 2:13, he says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And then in Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should work in." And one of my roles is calling people. I help Anessa also in the office when correspondence goes back to OM in Port Colborne. I have the privilege of calling all those people. And imagine, you know, God God is all-knowing. So last week, Tuesday, I called people, and God always gave me the privilege of praying with people. I always end my call, how can I pray for you? So I called this number, the man's name was Bob, and he answered the phone, but he was kind of in a hurry. He was like, well, you know, I can't really talk with you, but because I'm on a mission here, but I have to go. And I said something, and Holy Spirit kept him on that call. He talked with me for over half an hour. And then he shared something that wrecked my heart. He lives in Chatham in Ontario. His name is Bob. And he was on his way, 93 families in Chatham, living in tents, minus 20 degrees. And as he shared with me what God was doing in and through him, it wrecked my heart to listen. And then at the end, you know, I said, Bob, you know, how can I pray for you? And he said, you know, these three, they are really the ones that are so close to me. Can you pray for Curtis, for Jordan, and for Shana? He said, I was with Shana for 3 hours. She OD'd on fentanyl. And he said, I was with her for 3 hours. I don't even know if I'll see her tomorrow. And, you know, I prayed with Bob. Now, the crazy thing, too, on a lighter side, that guy, he actually was a professional
football
Eskimo player way back in the day. Imagine. And then he went on to be a teacher, and then he retired, and he's given his life to mission. And now he's caring. You know, I said to you, you know, that's what Jesus would hang out with. You know, when David and I worked in Quebec, we hung out with the women of the night. We'd go spend time with them. Or even in Edmonton, where we learned that the youngest was 9, that would be on the streets. But, you know, my husband had a sub run, and as I was praying for Curtis, Jordan, and Shana, and for Bob, Holy Spirit said, I want you to e-transfer money to Bob so he can buy a tent for another family. And I said, yes, Lord, I'll wait till David comes and I'll share this with him. And when David came home, I said, honey, this is what Jesus wants to do. And he said, yes, no questions. And we didn't hear from Bob till late. But here's the all-knowing part of God. That afternoon, Jordan's tent flew away by the wind. And Bob wrote me back. He said, isn't this wild? You prayed for Curtis, for Jordan, and for Shana. And God, in essence, used you to be an answer to that need. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, but God knows, because he's all-knowing. And, you know, he shared a sad story because I reached out and said, how is Shana? And he said to me, Wendy, Shana is okay, but another young woman, only 29, can you imagine? She slept in a tent, minus 20, in this rich Canadian country, and she died because of hypothermia. Like, how sad is that? So pray for Bob. And Lord willing, actually in July, he's coming out and he wants to meet us. He actually said to me, how can I keep in touch with you? And I'm like, so I said, well, my husband and I, because I was like, I got to mention that part. but that, you know, then David got on the call. He heard the whole conversation and he wants to introduce us to some.
Tom Wilkinson.
That guy in Edmonton. Anyway, another story. You know, and you know, God's word says, you know, that he uses all things for his good in our lives, and even the tough things. And as you as a church family know and have prayed for me, I was diagnosed with cancer in 2022, and actually January 12th was my fourth year. And when I was diagnosed, I gave my husband permission to send it to a couple of friends of mine, because I didn't want to know what it was really. But Dr. Detoit, Amore is my dearest friend, he said to her, you better pray, because this is the stuff of miracles. And I believe that God has me here by his design, because through that, I praise God, I was able to share Jesus with people at Tom Baker. But then Jesus also said, Wendy, why don't you start a cancer support group in your town? And I've had the privilege of leading others to Jesus or sharing the hope of the gospel. And here's a story about Freddie. I knew his wife. She helped out at the fair where we would go and set up the trade show in Stettler. And anyway, she told me that Freddie's in hospital. Prior to that, when in April, I said, hey, can I get your husband's number? I mean, I normally don't take men's numbers, but in this case it was different. Freddie had cancer. So I was sharing the gospel with Freddie via text because he was just laying down, you know. And then one day she said to me, Wendy, Freddie's in hospital now. So I said, can I visit Freddie? And she said, yes. I went that day, and when I walked in, she was there. And I was like, well, Lord, now what? But you know what God did? A friend came. She was bringing her some soup. So she said, you know, I'm just going to go out and get the soup from Karen, who's a mutual friend of ours. And then Holy Spirit said to me, here's your time, kiddo. You take it. And I shared Jesus again with Freddie, and Freddie came to know Jesus. And I went to Freddie's funeral, but you know, I went to the Mormon church because that's where he was being buried from. But heck, I'm going to see Freddie again one day. How amazing is that? Give Amen. God the glory. I'm gonna leave it at that. There's lots of OM related stuff, but I really believe that's what Jesus wanted me to share with you. And as you minister here, you know, brothers and sisters, no matter what suffering you're going through, no matter what your situation is, allow Jesus to use your story to draw others into the kingdom of God as they see that amazing hope. You know, because our life here on this earth is like a little speck, but heck, eternity is forever. And we're all going to be there one day. So thank you.
Let me get organized here. Thank you, honey, for that sharing. I think I could sit down and we could leave it at that, couldn't we? Don't tell her I said that. But I want to, Wendy has shared a bit, and I'll veer into some of the OM-related things, and then we'll get you to start this video in a minute. But in Wendy's role, too, she's been, she's calling, she's encouraging people that have come back from the field, and she has begun a WhatsApp prayer meeting with alumni that have served in different parts of the world, and that is once a month. They meet together online on WhatsApp for prayer, and they pray about their needs as they walk this journey of re-entry and getting back into Canada once again. And I believe, and that's been a huge blessing. I'm able to take part in those when I'm around and just to hear of people. We actually have a young man, Jose, who just spent 3 months on Logos Hope. He's in Edmonton at our church up there sharing today. And we said, well, we can't make it because we're in Camrose. And we're still glad we're here, so don't feel bad about that. But we're going to go up and have more time with them another time instead of just that bumper car time in church, so we'll be able to spend more time with them. And Marie, whose family was connected with Clearwater College for many years, just came back as well. And so we're going to, is it next Friday that we're going to see her? And so so some neat opportunities that God gives us to walk a road with people when they're coming, when they're going from the field. And then I get to go to the field with people as well. And this past year, I think when we were here last year, I shared about the trip to the Himalayas. I've introduced Andrew Eckert to you as well, who spent 13 years over there. And so I won't dwell on it a long time, but go ahead and play this video. It gives you a little snapshot of our time in the Himalayas this past May.
25, a team of Canadians went to the Himalayas not to escape, but to bring the good news. They traveled to one of the most unreached places on Earth. Getting there wasn't easy. The winding mountain roads, worsened by monsoon rains, made for slow travel. But they quickly learned something profound. God is at work in the Himalayas. They met disciple makers in their 20s and 30s who are fearlessly sharing the gospel. These brave workers faced opposition and persecution from extremists and even surveillance from authorities. Yet their response is, "We must continue sharing the gospel despite the risk." Their conviction is a powerful reminder of courage. This mission was a journey of faith for the Canadians and a deep encouragement to the local workers.
We had the privilege of meeting some young people who were incredibly courageous. We went there as a team that ranged from 70 or early 70s down to 14. And so when we got there, typically they would take a short-term team and we'd go on a trek through the Himalayas and to go to different villages and share. And they thought with the nature of our team, and my friend Blair was waiting on a hip replacement at the time, but a trooper who was like, okay, let's delay this hip replacement so I can go on this mission trip. That's Blair's heart. Not his hip, his heart. And so they took us a shorter trek, but then the most of the time we spent going around to meet with some of the young workers that are in the villages, that are sharing the gospel, and you just get a little snippet of the persecution that some of them face. And just they encourage our hearts in just such an incredible way. I mean, there is no way to describe it, because they could be leaving the country, making money, sending it home to their families, and yet they've said, no, Jesus has got his hand on my life, and he wants me to be here to share the gospel. And so they stay there. They're risking prison. They risk persecution. In the southern area of the country, there's radical Hindus have come in, and they try it. They'll be trying to stone them, just beating them up, doing different things to get them to stop, and they continue. That's they said, this is our life. This is the thing that God has called us to do. So it was an incredible encouragement. Robert, the 70-year-old who was with us, a friend from Red Deer, he took copious notes of all of this, even the names of these workers, to be able to pray for them. But yeah, what an incredible journey. So look forward to being back there again. Andrew is actually living here in Canada representing that field here. They had to come back, and so I'm not sure when he was last here, but I know you've had him here a couple of times.
In 1975...
Oh, it did work on here. There we go. Now, I want to zoom away from that for a little bit. Now, I mentioned earlier that OM is in about 147 countries, and so I'm not going to talk about all 147 countries this morning. Should I? What time did we want to leave? No, sorry, I won't do that, because I don't even know the names of all of those countries. But what they do is they zoom in on spotlight regions for a period of time that we can focus on raising people, raising resources for. And so I'm going to play you this video on the table back there. If you want a little more information about those areas, is these cards that talk about the different regions that you're going to see in the video. And it looks as though maybe I can push this button and get that video. So you're looking at a region that has some of the least reached people in the world, some places less than 1% evangelical Christians. Where I'm going to talk about in a second here is about 1 to 1.5 throughout that region. In that process of these things, if I can find my button I'm pushing again, there we go. There we go. OM Canada launched an initiative called Come With Me. For those of us as reps across the country, they said, we want you to go out and invite people to come with you to one of these areas this year. And so along with my friend Blair in Rocky Mountain House, we are looking at going to Southern Europe, an area that is very traditionally churched. In fact, some of the very early church was there, but religion and secularism has taken over, and 1 to 1.5% might have a relationship with Jesus within that realm. And so it is a very unreached area. And I was hoping today I would say, we're going to this country. But our plans have kind of gone around in circles a little bit about some different areas, and now we're narrowing it down to between the last two places, which Italy or Corsica, which is an island belonging to France, and we're just waiting for information back to make a final decision. Now, if somebody is interested in coming with me, there is a sign-up sheet at the back there. If I can get your name and email address, and once we get the things narrowed down and our dates and that sort of thing, I'll get them to you, and you can pray about coming along with us, and then we will know the costs of what it will be for those areas as well, and the airfares. The airfares, what I've looked at so far, or anywhere, depending on where, from say about $1,200 up to about $2,000 kind of thing, but just depends on when we go kind of thing too. But yeah, come with me. We'd love to have some folks from Cameron's community coming with me sometime, and maybe we should plan sometime a team just from your church, Shannon, and we can go somewhere. Not sure where yet, but we'll figure that out, right? God will figure it out. Yeah. Now, I got to ask a question. We've talked a little bit about our identity and about different things that, and the Sunday school class was brilliant, seeing some of the historical elements of the early church. But I've got to ask a question from a couple of people here. Now, if I move around a bit, am I going to be messing up the live stream? Oh, okay. We got a good camera person back there. I need to ask, is there anybody here who has a name that has a unique meaning that you're aware of that you want to share with us? Alan? There you go. Hey, and you're living up to that name, right? But yeah, and our names, anybody else? Marion? Sorry? Little Mary. Little Mary, okay. That's pretty cool. Anybody else? Little wise one? Well, there you go, Shanna. And she is very wise, isn't she? There you go. Now, most of us here are from a Western background, and some cultures have attached much more meaning to their names when children are named at birth and this sort of thing. We've had African friends whose names mean blessing from above, or, you know, these type of things. And when we look back at Scripture, there's also a lot of meaning attached to some of the names as well. You know, of course, we know Jesus' name. The name Joshua in the Old Testament, Yahweh is salvation. Hey, you know what? I'm going to backpedal a wee bit because I had to tell you a story that was kind of funny, and then we'll get back to Joshua again, okay? Now, my name is David. It's a Hebrew name, means beloved. And I'm not sure. My mom was raised in the United Church when it was very different from what it is today, and so probably had an understanding. That's why she wanted to use that name. But the thing I only learned many years later, after my dad had passed away, my middle name, which is Leslie, was the name of a sweetheart she had before she met my dad. I don't know if Dad ever knew that or not. I mean, you know, he's heard me tell this story. Now he knows, but But so that's the unique side of names of meanings, or meanings of names. But back to Joshua, Yahweh is salvation. One of those names that goes right through and has a depth throughout Scripture. But not every name in Scripture had that kind of a positive spin to it, or light to it, if you will. And now if you read the book of Hosea, he had some unique names that he gave to his kids. And I don't think anybody here has named their kids anything of this. Sorry? That, but it's not quite like this one, though, I tell you. But that's great. That is unique. And as I drive bus, I meet a lot of kids with quite unique names, but none with quite the uniqueness of Lo Ruhama or Lo Ami. Does anybody know what Lo Ruhama means? I'm probably not saying it right, but anybody know what that one means? No? It means not loved. Has anybody ever named their child not loved? Or Lo Ami, not my people. You know, okay, it's time for bed. Okay, not loved, go get to bed. Or not my people, go get changed, get up and go ready for school. I don't think we're going to do that, are we? But yet these names were a picture of what God was doing and what he was doing through Hosea to picture what was going on with Israel at the time. So that's why he gave those names. And that's the story throughout the Old Testament. We see names like this that are very unique and have a specific purpose for that. And God has many names too, doesn't he? That I think are very encouraging. I know Wendy has a book at home that she prays through. It's Praying the Names of God. And incredible as you look at some of these and the translation. I don't have them written down on a sheet there for you, but El Elyon, God Most High. And if I can mention scripture verses, and you can look them up, I won't go to them today, but Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 24, it talks about El Elyon, who is God Most High. And we looked at a bit of that in Sunday school, of these names and how our English language loses something when we have only one word for God. And many of us will use Abba or Adonai and some of the Hebrew or the Greek names in our language as we come to understand and know a little more about him. But just the name God, we know in our circles what that means. But the average Canadian thinks it's a cuss word now. And we know it's a whole lot more than that. And he is a whole lot more than that. El Olam, the eternal God. Genesis 21:13. He has been forever. God has been there. God has been. El Roy, the living one, or the living God. Genesis 16:14. And one we do know much more so, we sing about at times, Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. His grace is sufficient for us. Genesis 22:14. Jehovah Rapha, one that in our home we have experienced in very profound ways these past few years, and many of you I'm sure have as well. God is our healer. Exodus 15:26. Jehovah Nisi, God is our victory. God is our banner. He is the one who goes before us. He is the one who was within us. He lives within us, and he truly is our victory, not something that we have to strive for. That's Exodus 17. And again, some of these names, they hold a unique concept for us as Jesus followers, because the Spirit dwells within us now, whereas the Old Testament, people were moving towards and they had faith in God, but God did not dwell in them where he does with us, and he can enable us to live and follow after these names, and he is the one that lives within us. Jehovah Shalom, you know this one, don't you? God is our peace. And that is such a much deeper, that's not peace that means absence of war. We want to see that in this world, but it's so much deeper, that peace, that rest that he gives to us, because he is the one, the living God who lives within us. One of my favorites is this next one, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Do you know what that one is? It's that Tsidkenu. Do you know what that one is? That is God, our righteousness. Because he is our righteousness, isn't he? Because I'm not going to be righteous by pulling myself up by my bootstraps and trying to do the right thing. But he is, and he lives within me. So the Old Testament verse on that, Jeremiah 23:6, But my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, yes, I've told you already, Genesis 7:9 is my favorite verse of people in all tribes and tongues and nation in heaven. But this one is probably a very close second or a tie. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Can anybody tell me that one? That's right, that we might be the righteousness of God. Not because of anything we did, but because of what Jesus did. And he finished it on that cross. And he gifted us the very righteousness of God. And that, if we're Jesus followers, that's who we are. That's the righteousness that we have. We don't have to beat ourselves up and think, oh, I didn't measure up today. No. You know, we're dealing, as Andrew Farley calls it, we still deal with the stinking thinking in our minds of our flesh. But our identity is that we are righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that is incredible reassurance to know that I don't have to measure up and meet a certain standard because Jesus already met the standard. And I don't know, that blows me away that he would do that for me. And then the final one I think we know quite well is El Shaddai. What does that one mean? El Shaddai. Michael Card sang that one a number of years ago in a very powerful song. God Almighty, Genesis 17:1-2, Genesis 35:11, and Exodus 6:3. I'm just going to look through a couple of notes here that I have and just see if I want to add anything to that, because I want to wrap up with a video. But one of the things that, we have a name, and we're going to talk about that in a second, or sing about that in a second. You may know this song. But the fact that God draws us to himself and he gives us a new name, which is righteous, which is holy, which is his child, his son, his daughter. And with that, he gives us that, I like the word responsibility, but at the same time, I don't want it to make it seem like it's a works-based thing. But he gives us a message that goes along with our new identity to share with the nations of the world. To share when you come with me, or to share when you go out on the streets of Camrose, whatever it is. Because you have a hope that nobody without Jesus knows. You have an eternal hope. And why shouldn't we share that? That's Wendy talked about this young man coming to know Jesus. There was another one who I thought of this morning on the way up, Edgar, when I saw a snowplow, because he used to be a driver of snowplows. And then during this, through the cancer support group, we were able to share. I was driving Edgar to different places, and I finally said, Edgar, have you asked Jesus into your life? He said, yes, I have. And just what an amazing blessing to have him speak that out, that he was a child of God as well, because it wasn't long after that he went home to be with Jesus. And so that's the part of it, in a sense, the application of all of this, and the names are just incredible to think of. But that's the very God who lives within us and knows us and knows every hair on our head. He knows everything about us, knows all about us, and he still loves us. He loves us with that incredible love that you speak about in your, what you say at the beginning of your service. What's the term for that again? Decree. Your decree. That's the love that he loves us with. And that is unconditional, no matter what. And that blows me away that God would love me like that. And then with that, he's gifted me his own righteousness. So the last slide I want to do. Amen. What a precious truth, Lord. We were once sinners, but you called us out of darkness, called us to yourself. You call us saints. You call us your sons and daughters, Lord. And what a precious gift. And that you've saved us. You've redeemed us. And never more to roam, Lord. You've got a hold of us, and we want to stay with you. But we thank you that we're never going to get far from you because you live within us. And so it's not about trying to get closer to you, because we're as close as we're ever going to get. But it's about listening and just hearing your voice and dealing with the flesh when we get those things happening and making wise choices that you would lead us. And we thank you for these names that you have given yourself. It just speaks to us of the amazing God that loves us and saved us and sent Jesus to give his life for us, Lord. And along with that, you've given us a message of hope to take to our town, to our neighbors, and to the nations. And so we just ask that you would lead and guide in all of these things. And just, we just praise and bless you this morning for this opportunity to fellowship together with these saints here in Camrose. And we just ask your blessing on each one, that they would just know that the sweetness of your hand upon them as they live out their lives here day by day, and that you would work in and through their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.